there's way too much overlap. So now you're asking people to spend $10 extra for like a handful of reasons.
Yep.
So it's going to have to be a big name, like a really big name. Like Dre was, that was one thing. Like Tidal, you know, they're going to have to pull Beyonce. It's going to have to be Beyonce.
Mm. So you don't think Jay is big enough to do drop an album on Tidal and get people interested?
It would have to be a really good Jay album. Do you know what I mean? Like there'd have to be buzz around it.
What about a Jay and Beyonce album that's been rumored to come out for the last 2 years?
Well, that won't be good. So
it won't be good, but...
have they made more than three good songs?
Have they made more than... What good songs do they have?
I mean, you can count Crazy in Love as a good song.
Crazy in Love. I like Deja Vu.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I'm tired of it now, but Drunk in Love is a good song.
Oh, you're right. Drunk in Love. That's the three.
Yeah, okay, that's the three. Is there anything else? What else? Okay, Hollywood, no. Bonnie and Clyde, no. That's how you, oh my God, remember how, that's how you like it?
Oh God.
Exactly.
Oh, just be thankful we never got like post-retirement Jay, like trying to rap over Single Ladies or something. Like it could have been.
I think that's where we start the show.
You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers, a late episode of Clock Radio Speakers, literally and figuratively. Say that five times fast. And I'm going to just go ahead and preface this. First off, I've had a really, Doc and I both had really busy weeks. We haven't been able to get together like we normally do. So it's Thursday night. And we sort of had a conversation whether we wanted to do this episode or not. But of course, in true Clock Radio Speakers fashion, this is for the people. So we in the building. We in the cut like iodine. What's going on, Doc?
It's been a long week. What's going on, everybody? You can follow me on Twitter at @Doc_Beats. That's not a Z. But first, you should follow the show at CRS Podcast. Please. Also follow Armand at ARMOND Wake Up, all one word.
One word.
ClockRadioSpeakers.com is the source for all things Clock Radio Speakers, iTunes, SoundCloud. I think we have a link to Stitcher, but if not, you can search for us there. And of course, you can find us on 4thDistrict.com. That's most of it. We're on Facebook, kind of, not really.
Not really. We still get inquiries to post people's music.
Yeah, I got a hard time getting Armand to listen to like...
He had a hard time. We'll just say it. He had a hard time getting me to listen to Travis Scott in the weekend this week.
Right.
So if I'm not listening to like these artists who actually have songs that I like, especially The Weeknd, I mean, this may be me sounding kind of haughty and all that stuff. And for that, I apologize, but I'm just not really in the mood to hear. This is one thing for independent artists and for unsigned artists. When you are reaching out to a platform, the platform helping you there has to be some mutual benefit. So
mutual benefit, like when somebody posted a zip of Kairos.
That story. And I read it back and I said, man, I really can't see. Sometimes when I rant on Twitter, I come off as angry, but I'm really laughing. Like I'm really not tripping. I was mad at the time. Like, how dare you bootleg an album that you can listen to for free on Bandcamp?
On Bandcamp. There's a free Spotify tier, right?
Yeah, there's a free Spotify tier. Yeah.
Like, if you guys listen on Spotify, he gets paid off of every stream. By paid, I mean like a micro penny, but still, like,
he's getting... Give me 3/4 of a penny, man. You can't do that. Come on, cuz. I want to do a show on that eventually, just like how the fans just don't recognize that people spend thousands of dollars to put this music, just even independent artists. Like, we spend thousands of dollars to make this project, even hundreds of dollars. If, you know, we do barter system, we have friends, whatever, people help you out. And then like for you to just expect it to be free. Actually, you know what? Shout out to Two Tones. Who's a friend of the show. They haven't been on the show yet, but they will. It's a podcast out in New Jersey. And they're going to do a show on, the diluting the value of free projects, how free projects has diluted the value of music. Really, really interesting. So I'm very interested to see their take. But there has to be some sort of mutual benefit in a platform hosting your music. So whether it's, you know, sometimes the mutual benefit is that their platform is to help artists. We're going to post your music, and that's their bread and butter. That's their face. That's their brand. But more often than not, either like we have to really, really, really like your music, or you have to be able to drive traffic to the site, which in turn, you know, creates revenue dollars, and we, you know, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. If it's just, hey, I'm doing you a favor and you get all the benefit and the platform gets none, they're not going to do it.
Right. Straight up. And let me clarify, Armand is talking about like sites in general.
Yes.
There aren't exactly what I would call revenue dollars flowing through Clack Radio Speakers World Headquarters.
Oh, no, there are $0.
This is all for the love.
All for the love of drug dealing.
So, what's going on with you, man? Anything exciting?
Drop some new music on a whim this weekend. Shout out to Doc for being the MVP, man. Thank you very much.
I wasn't even trying to alley-oop that, but yeah.
Nah. So, put out a freestyle over Tell Your Friends, Weekend and Kanye. You can get that at ArmandWakeUp.com. And on SoundCloud, all that good stuff, man. I don't know, man. I had a really rough week last week. My grandfather passed. And just dealing with stuff at work and personal stuff. And I just need to vent. I hadn't vented in a while. You know, I think the last record I put out was History. And that was just me doing lyrical, schmerical acrobatics. Do I still got it? Sort of, you know, push-ups at the gym or whatever. But this was one of those scared of me, Chevy Impala music. I just needed to get this off my chest. And I hadn't done that in a while. So I was just listening to, I was listening to Drake's version of Tell Your Friends. And that, I was like, oh, wait, hold on. Beat is kind of dope. Found it, wrote to it a couple more times, revised, wrote, cut, and finished it Sunday night. Shout out to Doc, who was on vacation for Labor Day. And Doc did the one take Hove mix. I woke up super early on Labor Day. I woke up at like 7, maybe quarter after 7 or something like that.
Super early. I was up at like 5:30.
I know, because I was about to say, that was a good 20 or 30 minutes after I got your text that said, hey, mix one is in Dropbox. And the mix was perfect, and I put it out. So shout out to Sphere of Hip Hop. Shout out to Josh over there for helping me push that. If you guys haven't heard it yet, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm sure I've posted the link. If you follow Doc on Twitter, we posted the link.
Yeah.
All that good stuff, man. So check it out. Other than that, you know, getting to this money, you know what I'm saying? All about the Benjamins. Seeing what's up with this, get my tech nerd on with the Apple conference this week or whatever. So
yeah, you find some things you want to spend some of that hard earned money on?
Some of my rap dollars on. Listen, and this is a good segue, because I do, you know, of course, out of courtesy and just out of a genuine friendship, want to know how your week was and how your weekend is and all that good stuff. But come on, man. But yeah, well, you know what? I'll wait. I'll wait to talk about the conference because I'll wait. Okay. How was your week?
Weekend was good. You know, I brought my laptop with me just in case, not for mixing purposes, you know, in case I do something crazy for work or whatever. And, you know, I use, I'm on the latest version of Audition. I use Audition CC now, where like you got to pay for it. Like, I pay monthly for Audition, man. That's my life right now. But I do enough stuff on the side that I like pay for it and then some. So I'm not really worried about it. But, you know, it's the sort of thing where it doesn't matter like what computer you have, like you can download it and just log in with your Adobe account and it's legit. So it was interesting because I didn't have all my usual array of toys and plugins. And because I was sitting there, like when I first heard it, I was like, oh, you know, I could do this little thing here. And then maybe I could snip this into Ableton and I could redo this. Now I was like, nope, all I've got is the basics. So shout out to modern technology for like, I'm sitting there, like really, we had a, basically here's what happened. Like, Armand, let me know you want me to do it. We had a little party going on. So, like, I sneak upstairs real quick. I start the Audition download. Then, like, another little break. I go, and the first tracks you let me, like, I lined everything up. I'm trying to get levels. And then I was like, all right, I'll leave that for what it is. Came back in the morning. There was a revised verse. Threw it in. Spent, like, 45 minutes tweaking levels. And I was like, all right, it is what it is.
That was it. And here we are.
And that was my boring Monday morning. Yeah, no, everything's good. So this is actually kind of interesting. I don't know if I told you this. I'm going to be on, is it Sunday Old School, right?
Yeah. Shout out to Clay. He reached out. Okay.
Yeah, I'm recording Sunday Old School this weekend.
Okay.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
Word? He didn't give you a topic?
So I'm just going to show up and be Doc, see what happens. Yeah, and I don't know when it'll air, but I'll let everybody know. But
that'll probably be probably the following week then.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting experience. Oh, but yeah. But yeah, man, life is good. I'm just to show my dedication to this podcast. I am missing the first Patriots game of the season right now. Like,
ooh, boo hiss.
But you mentioned it before. You want to talk about this Apple event real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, you know, every year they in September, they have an event where they announce phones typically and then whatever else they've got that they're working on. So they announced new iPhones. More importantly for me, they announced new Apple TV, which I've been waiting on.
Yeah.
And they announced the iPad Pro, which is basically like just a gigantic iPad.
It's a laptop with no keyboard.
It's a laptop. No, right. I have a 13-inch Retina MacBook Pro for my work laptop. And this thing is pretty much the same size screen. It's just an iPad.
I saw a tweet from somebody that was like, man, people are going to be taking pictures with this thing at concerts. And if you're the guy who is in the crowd taking pictures of stuff with a giant tablet, don't listen to my show. Unfollow us on Twitter.
No, we are welcoming. We are inclusive. Nope. We welcome all.
Nope. If you're that guy. If you're that guy. Don't be that guy. Anyway.
The Apple TV looks fantastic. It's everything I've been wanting out of an Apple TV for a long time. You know, an app store finally, so people can, you know, companies will do their own apps, so you don't have to be limited by what Apple puts on there. You know, like other platforms have had app stores, but this is the sort of thing where these little like streaming boxes, they're kind of popular, but they haven't like really hit big. So there's definitely an opportunity here. I'm buying one.
Yeah.
It looks really good. For me, the question is, am I buying two? Like, because we have my wife has a TV in her office. She's got a 40-inch LCD, and then we got a 55-inch downstairs. And right now I have an Apple TV because that's what I use. I used to use the PlayStation 3 for Netflix. When the last Apple TV came out, I bought it immediately because, like, anybody who had that first PlayStation 3 knew, like, when you turn that thing on, like, it is noisy. Like, it is audible.
Oh,
like,
man.
It's such a first world problem.
I miss my old PS3. It's downstairs bricked in the basement.
Oh, I have it. I don't use it. It just sits in my entertainment center. Useless. It's still the current Apple TV to replace it. I was like, if it can do Netflix, like that's fine, it's worth it. And then 2 years ago we cut cable. So the Apple TV was good, but I thought the Roku stuff would be better. So we got a Roku downstairs, Roku upstairs. Those work. I like those better than the Apple TV. There's some stuff that actually is a little better than the Apple TV. So I flip between the two of them. But the new one looks like it addresses all the problems. Plus, it just looks a lot better. So, I'm the kind of person, like, I actually use Siri all the time.
Dude, you're the first person.
I use Siri.
No, you know what? I take it back. My ex still uses Siri a lot, but she uses it for like random dumb stuff and not like stuff that people would normally use Siri for.
I don't use Siri to like let me text somebody too often. Like, you know what it is for me? It's because it's a very specific use case. Like, I work from home, so that means I cook dinner most nights. So like when my wife is like driving home from work and she's like texting me like updates or whatever, like, hey, I ran into traffic or whatever. Like, I'm typically like doing dishes, cooking lunch. Like, my hands are busy with stuff. So like all the time I will use Siri to like set timers or like stop this or like something real quick. Like, it's so handy for me for that. And so like the biggest weakness of these streaming boxes is like trying to type something. Be like, I want to, nobody searches because that means you got to like, it takes forever. Such a first world problem. But it's like, look, this is what it is. So if Siri is even remotely better for that, it'll be huge.
Listen, yeah, the ability to say what did he say and then
Apple TV
rewinds 15 seconds is nuts.
Yeah. It rewinds 15 seconds and then temporarily puts up captions so that you can see. Right.
That's crazy. Even the voice search saying, hey, show me the episode of Fresh Prince where his dad comes back and it plays that episode. That's nuts.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see how well that works, if it works like quite that well, or if you have to give like names of people or whatever. But even like, honestly, so many times my wife and I'll be like, what do you need me for? I'll be like, I don't know, a comedy. And then we try and we sit there. First, we check Netflix. Then we check Hulu. Then we check Amazon. And we check HBO Go. It's like, nah, like to be the ability to be like, I'm in the mood for a comedy. Shows you like a whole list of comedies. And then you go, nah, I want the good ones. And then it actually, it knows Rotten Tomatoes. So then it narrows by the stuff that's good on Rotten Tomatoes. Like that is actually super useful for me.
That's scary.
So what's nice is it's not like always listening to you. You actually do have to like hit the remote. Like there are some things that are like always listening. Like that's a little creepy.
A little bit, frankly.
But you know,
see, well, I don't know. Have you played Xbox One yet?
No.
So, and I tweeted about this.
I just totally fell out from being a gamer.
Man, crazy. We're old, man. Like I just go to my boy's house. He had a PS4 and I had his Xbox One. I go to his house and I play 2K and that's about it.
You know what I want? I want only the like career or like season like simulation part of 2K. I want that just on a phone. I don't want to actually play. I just want to be a GM. If somebody makes that game, I would pay $20 for that on my phone.
Don't they have that?
No.
Like no GM or something
like that? It's not the same. Like I want like the actual like 2K. You know what I mean? Like,
so you want the soundtrack?
Not even that. Listen, you're talking to the guy who I typically will play. When I did play games, I play them on mute or I play my own music.
Right. I remember the on Xbox when you could.
Custom Xbox soundtracks. Props.
Yeah, custom soundtracks was like crazy.
Right.
But anyway. So voice search on Xbox One. Like you be playing 2K and like. We'll be having a conversation and then the voice and then like it'll activate a timeout.
Oh, right.
And we didn't even say timeout. We'll say like cheeseburger and it'll call a timeout. Or if you like contest a call or something and you start cussing at the TV, it calls a tech on you. I don't like that.
It calls a like tech on you because you cursed.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be like a fantasy reality.
America, people.
It's supposed to be a fantasy reality. Like it's not supposed to be real reality.
Right. Exactly. I don't mind if like some weird, cheesy, out of this world stuff happens on my video game because it's a video game. Like I don't need complete and total like no.
Yeah.
And you know, if I want real simulation on a basketball game, I'll go outside. Mm. I'll go outside. I'll join a league. You know what I'm saying? But let's talk about these iPhones real quick.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Camera looks great. I don't know how often I would use 4K, but like as somebody who takes pictures all the time, anytime they improve the camera, it looks good to me. The 3D touch thing, when I first like knew they were doing it, when I first heard the rumors, I thought it'd be a little silly, but it actually looks pretty useful. There's all sorts of situations where I can see that working. What else did they really change? It's faster. Of course, they always make it faster.
I think that was it. I think it was upgraded specs, the camera, and force touch. I think, and adding rose gold.
Yeah, rose gold. Not really for me. I'm not. This is not 2004 era Cameron.
Which was a little darker. No, for real. Like when
you want like
rose gold, I was like, word.
You want like Pepto Bismol pink?
No. Cause that was like I want almost like a shiny, a little lighter than like a soft magenta or something like that.
Oh, interesting. Oh, I think, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like that, but nope. It's Cameron. It's Cameron.
The phone, you know, phones look really good. What's really interesting is like, they see the move that the carriers are doing with, you know, carriers are moving away from like you pay $199 or whatever for your phone. And then you get to your contract and they're moving more into like you just pay a monthly payment.
Yeah.
But you have the ability to upgrade. So Apple's like, well, you could just do that straight with us. You could take your phone to any carrier and it includes Apple Care Plus, which is huge. Apple Care Plus is great. So like Apple Care Plus means, oh, I drop my phone into a toilet. Cool. Like you show up, pay $100, they hand you a brand new phone. It's like no nonsense insurance. You can crack it. You can do whatever. Like it's plus it just extends the regular warranty out too. So like, I don't know if I'll do it this time. I don't know. Like I'm still on an older Verizon plan because I'm still, I shouldn't say this on the air in case anybody from, hopefully nobody from Verizon is listening. I've still got a UConn discount on my cell plan. So I'm hesitant to change, but I was looking at the prices today and I was like, man, maybe I'm paying too much. So I don't know. I don't know if it'll be this year or next year, but at some point I'll probably just move to that plan. Cause like, you know, upgrade my phone every year, pay less than I would if I bought it outright and then did the whole like, oh, let me sell it. Let me do that all hassle. Like, seems like a good plan.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Phones look really good. I don't know if it's anything that means I have to have it. Like, I've been using the beta of iOS 9 for a little while now on my 6, and I actually just I got a new beta for 9.1 today. It's been solid. It's been great. A lot of nice little features. So I don't know. My phone's good.
Yeah, man. I have the Jump program with T-Mobile.
Yeah, so I can
upgrade twice a year. I have the original one, but you know, you upgrade twice a year anytime you want. You don't pay anything up front. I've been with my boy calls him T-Maybe. been with them since like 2007. So I pretty much just walk in, you just pay taxes up front. And then you pay, depending on the price of the phone or whatever, you pay that and it's rolled into your bill. And that's pretty much it. I can upgrade whenever I want. So because of that freedom, I have been entertaining the idea of getting an iPhone.
Yeah, you should try it.
You know, they have the BlackBerry Classic, which I'm looking at.
There's no way.
Look, fam.
Listen.
Fam.
We're done as a podcast if you get that.
Fam. Can it be that it was all so simple then?
I think we forget how crappy those BlackBerries actually were. Like, some things really worked. Some things, if you went back and used it now, you would just throw the phone down. You'd be so frustrated.
Remember when BBM came back?
Nobody
and
cared.
Like, people were fake excited for like 2 days and passing their pins all over Twitter. And then like, no, they'd come to find out like nobody really signed up for it. We would just ask for it back.
I mean, I have iMessage. What is BBM that iMessage isn't? Like,
I don't know. So I'm thinking about it.
You need to get it so that you can. I think you're the last person I regularly text who shows up as a non-iMessage text on my phone.
I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you the main thing that's holding me back.
Okay.
My pride
has
resisted
killer.
iPhone. Yeah. Pride is a killer. It is. It's resisted it for everybody in my church has an iPhone.
Mm.
All of my friends have an iPhone. All the people who have Androids, like, they have most of them, minus a few. Shout out to y'all because we nerd out. Most of them have, like, the mid-range, like, Samsung Galaxy, like, Alpha, like, the phone you get for free for signing an account or whatever, getting an account. So I can't even talk to them about the things that Android can actually do or whatever. But you know, as I said on Twitter, like, it's primarily a case of ecosystem and preference because, you know, it's to the point now where technology pretty much does the same thing. But, you know, the fact that I can upgrade twice a year and it doesn't really affect my pockets and my monthly payment, I don't have to come out of pocket for anything. You may very well see me with an iPhone for 6 months in 2016. That is very possible. Mm. So, you know, shout out, because I was very impressed with the camera. Very. I mean, Samsung's the S6 Galaxy, the S6 Edge and the Note 5, like, their camera's sick too. But I was really impressed with the 6S. Again, Apple just knows how to present its product, and Google has not learned how to do that yet. I don't even think they're concerned about it. Like, I just feel like they're way too like nerdy and they just don't care about it. Samsung's trying to do that, but it's just not there yet. So you might see me with an Apple iPhone in 2016. You might on the low though.
Yeah.
On the lowest of keys. So,
I think that's pretty much it for Apple.
Are we ready to talk about music? Is there anything else?
I think we should talk about your boy, Abel.
You want to talk Abel first?
Yeah, let's talk Abel.
All right, let's do it.
We have referenced him many occasions since we've come back from our break, but we haven't really, and we're not going to dig into, I'm not doing a track by track on this, review on this, on this
He's
album.
A friend of the show.
He's a friend of the show. He's quietly, transformed from, shadowy scumbag Abel to slightly family friendly pop scumbag Abel.
Right.
It's been an interesting
glitter glove scumbag Abel.
Oh, glitter gloves. That'd be a great like fake gangster name from like like Goodfellas or something. Yeah, we call them glitter gloves.
I'm glitter gloves. Oh man, he gets killed in like one of the montages with the when everything starts falling apart.
Right, there's an Eric Clapton song from the 70s playing in the background, and there's like people hanging up in meat lockers, and it's all downhill, and you see just like a pair of glitter gloves on the ground, like
like splats of blood on them.
Right.
He said an Eric Clapton song from the 70s. That's exactly what they will play,
because that's what they do in that famous montage from Goodfellas.
Yeah. He's like wailing for his life or something like that.
So the The second act, right? Beauty Behind the Madness. But really, like, this all kind of starts with the Ariana Grande song from last year, right?
Did it?
I mean, this second act of the weekend. Because, like, Kissland, we did not like, except for the Pharrell song.
Yeah, except for the Wonderlust remix.
Actually hinted at this possible future.
It did, and we didn't even blink at it.
No, we just thought, oh, Pharrell gave him the alley.
Yeah, Pharrell gave him this really dope beat, remixed this record, and that was it. I mean, I guess maybe because we're used to the Neptunes doing that?
Yeah, I mean, so basically the story is that, like, I mean, there's been a whole bunch of press surrounding the weekend this summer, but more or less, real short summary, is that the success of Love Me Harder really kind of convinced him and his like team that, like, oh, this is kind of a direction that we need to go more into.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
So Love Me Harder, I believe, at least it's produced and mostly written by Max Martin, who is like a really big pop guy. He's done a lot of stuff for a lot of pop people. And he's the guy who produced, him and his team produce. I think they have three songs on here, right? They've got Can't Feel My Face. They've got Shameless, and they've got In the Night. Basically the weekend going MJ 80s pop. That's Max Martin. So the success of that Ariana Grande duet, sort of that plus, and then of course 50 Shades of Grey, that record, the
completely
blew up, took him to another level. But what was really interesting for me this summer was the success of songs like The Hills,
yeah,
or like Often. Like, those aren't that dissimilar from, like, you know, old school Abel records. Maybe not quite as gritty as I would like, right? We're not dealing with like indie rock samples anymore, right? But it's an he's done an interesting thing here, right? Where by sort of doing some records that are just really look, like Can't Feel My Face is a really good pop record. As the first time I heard it, I immediately knew it was going to be a hit. It, to me, it's a song like, as soon as you hear it, you're just like, oh, of course, people will love it. But these other records, it's almost like he had to become more popular in order to get people to go towards the rest of his sound. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm trying to figure out, is it that Abel has gone pop, or is it that people are sort of, fans are now meeting him in the middle, and he can now put out stuff that sounds kind of like a weekend record, but people will like it because it's the weekend.
Yeah. I think that, his transition from, you know, seedy, creepy, dirtbag.
Dirtbag Abel is the best.
Dirtbag Abel. I mean, oh, man, he was the soundtrack for a lot of debauchery in 2010. A lot that I have repented and forgiven
2011?
Myself. 2011? Was it 10 or 11? Was it 11?
11.
Okay, whatever that year. Yeah, that was a hazy year.
Just like the cover of one of his mixtapes. Very hazy. Yeah.
That was a hazy year, especially that summer. My God. Anyway, so just sort of go out of that. It's almost like certain artists, even myself included, like whenever I get invited to like a real studio, I'm always like, I'm uncomfortable.
Mm.
I'm so used to recording at home, being comfortable. You know, it's like a transition to getting comfortable, getting, you know, acclimated with the climate. And being able to be creative. Because, you know, if you're not comfortable, you can't do anything. So it definitely can't be creative. So it felt like, in retrospect, Kissland was sort of, you know, this newfound fame that he didn't want, that he was fighting. And now it's like, you know, so Kissland was sort of like the antithesis of that, or the result of that. And then now it's almost like when The Weeknd was out initially, the sound that he and Drake and all that sort of dark R&B, like, it wasn't really accepted yet outside of Drake. So now that pretty much all of not just R&B, but most of music has accepted that, it's more acceptable for Abel to be Abel, but Abel is too big to go back to CD Dirtbag Abel.
Actually,
Go ahead. I was going to say, he now, you know, he's got $1 million in his pocket. Like, he doesn't have to eat at the dollar menu. He can, you know, he can actually go somewhere and get a decent steak.
Right. So that's actually, I mean, from what I've read, that is pretty much the story, right? The story is that the first three mixtapes, that's a guy who never left like his hometown until he was like 21 or something. And then Kissland was really like, oh, now what? Like, he's famous. He's got a major label. Like, he's blowing up. Like, he, you know. And it's like you said, like it clearly is somebody who's struggling with that. And the second album is like, okay, I'm going to embrace it. I think it's an interesting case where maybe for the first time that I can think of, the fact that we had the mixtapes, but instead of, so like, I'm trying to figure out how to word this best. So growing up, there was that sort of seminal notion of, oh, it's the debut album. It's the album they've been waiting their whole lives to make, and it's often a classic. It's often their best work or some of an artist's best work. We kind of grew up with that, right? And then in the mixtape era, we've lamented this sort of concept of, well, they already used up all their really great stuff, and then, you know, now you get the debut album and they're restricted by samples or the label tells them to do this or whatever the case is, right? It's not what they want. And then we sort of go, you know, mixtapes, you know, blah, blah, blah. But to me, this is a case where the fact that he had the body of work on mixtapes meant that he was never going to live or die off Kissland. Like, if let's say that we didn't have the internet or it wasn't as big as it is now, you know, let's say it's 10 years earlier and nobody really knows about those mixtapes, but somebody in the music industry hears them. He makes something approximating Kissland because they hear his earlier stuff and say, you can't put that out. Are you kidding me? Right. Nobody will buy it. Right. So he puts out Kissland. It flops, and then they go, well, you had your shot, kid, because he would have never had that pre-album fame to fall back on. Here's a case where those first three mixtapes, I want to say saved him, but it meant that he always had that to go back to. He could, like, in other words, that we knew that there was a fan base for this guy. It's just a matter of putting it to the right place.
Yep.
A very rare instance of the mixtape/free online album era sort of making the debut album. It's not that it doesn't matter. I mean, it's not that it doesn't matter. It just means it's not the end of the world if it doesn't really hit. And it gives him sort of, I mean, to me anyway, like looking at it from afar, it seems like it allows him a sort of, I want to say freedom, but sort of, you know, well, we can try this, well, we can try that. Like, there was never a doubt that people wanted to hear this guy. That was already established.
Agreed.
Okay.
Absolutely agree.
So,
and it also doesn't hurt that besides all of this, you know, analyzing that we've done, he's put out three records in the last year that have hit tremendously.
Yeah, he's blown up so much. And so, like I said, Can't Feel My Face, I totally get. Earned It, sort of surprising. It's not just the soundtrack. Like, people really like that song. It's kind of a weird song. It's like a sort of almost like a waltzy kind of tempo. Like, it, you know, right? I mean, it's not a regular tempo.
A little bit waltzy. That's funny.
You hear the motorcycles going by?
Oh, is that who that was?
Yeah.
Yo, so
got the Rough Riders outside my window.
Oh, Rough. So there's a rumor. I just want to interrupt our conversation, but there's a rumor going on that Drake and Future are dropping a mixtape together tomorrow. Did you see this?
No.
So DJ Ski, I did see DJ Ski's tweet a few hours ago that said, you know, something along the lines of, the internet's about to break when these two artists drop a mixtape together tomorrow. So I'm thinking, great, Lil Wayne and Juelz and Can't Feel My Face. I'm excited. But now I'm just kind of combing through Twitter now, and I'm seeing a fake cover. I'm seeing a lot of Drake and Future. It's been confirmed, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we'll see. I don't have any confirmations, but other than that, but I guess something is coming out tomorrow. I do trust DJ Ski. He's often on point.
It's been 4 years since Condiments came out.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're sold.
Dude, I listened to Q&A on the way home. Dog, my flow on that beat switch is abysmal. It's terrible. Oh my God. Like, the beat switch, I was like, oh, because I let the song play and I'm like, okay, I remember there's a beat switch, but I forgot what it sounded like. Beat switch goes, I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm just like, I am rapping my little heart out. And it's terrible. It's pathetic.
Anyway.
Anyway, all right. So back to Abel. Is there anything on this album that you like? Because since we're not going track by track.
Right. So I do like Tell Your Friends. Even though it's, you know, it's not, let's just say it's not the most challenging sample chop for, Shea Pope, Kanye, Elangelo, and Mike Dean. For its track to have four producers, but basically be a loop with a little bit of a chop and a guitar solo seems, hey, whatever. You know, I like Tell Your Friends.
And the crazy part is, and we didn't talk about this on the show, but this, that is the same sample as Common's Hungry from One Day It'll All Make Sense.
Yeah. It's definitely a sample that has been used before. What else do I like? I like one of the other Max Martin tracks. Oh, I think In the Night. Yeah, I like In the Night. That's to me, that's an obvious, like, if they really want to do Can't Feel My Face too, they could just do In the Night. But I wonder if they'll push Tell Your Friends a little bit.
The record is seeming to grab a little bit of steam. It says something when Drake gets on your record and people are asking for the original version.
Yeah, it's it's a very, I want to say chill record, but it kind of works.
It's a dirtbag record.
It's a dirtbag record.
It's extremely dirtbaggy.
And yet, it's not the most dirtbaggish thing associated with Kanye West that we're going to talk about this week.
Oh, my God. Oof, boy.
Boy. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, like, there's a couple records on. Oh, the other song that could probably be a single is the Ed Sheeran record, Dark Times. Just sheer name power alone. Those two are very, that's like a record that, if American Idol still mattered, they could like perform that live at American Idol and then it would like be big the next day, like one of those records.
Hey man, if Ed Sheeran couldn't help Macklemore.
Who? No, too soon for that?
A little bit. I think so. that was terrible. So well executed.
The Lana Del Rey record is all right. Like, I love Lana's first album. She has decided though that she wants all of her songs to sound slow and depressing and kind of like the stuff she did for the Great Gatsby soundtrack. And like, talk about, like, I don't know. We've talked about her before, but like, her career is so interesting to me because it's like, it's sort of a weird accident where, like, she worked with, I always get this guy's name wrong. Emile, is that right?
Yeah, I don't know if it's Emile or Emily.
It's a guy.
Or Emile or something like that.
Let's just say Emile or Emile. She worked with him really heavily on the first album. And that's what sort of contributed to that sound, which was, very sort of hip hop inspired. But then he was going through like some crazy breakup or whatever. He wasn't available. He like couldn't work with her on the second one. And then all of a sudden, like, she's decided that, oh, this is my sound now. And it's like, no, actually, what people originally fell in love with was that first album, but she blew up so much more. There's like clearly a lot of people who like the sound, but like, I don't know, I miss kind of the old Lana. I'm like, man, I sound like a hipster. I miss the old Lana, which wasn't even that old. Yeah, there's a couple. I mean, there's some cool records on here. This is not. It's interesting. It's not really at all structured or sort of even much in sound similar to the mixtapes. It's definitely better than Kissland. But to me, this isn't even full-fledged. Like, I kind of feel like he could almost go more pop, and I might be okay with that.
Now, question, did you see him at the VMAs? I'm sure you didn't.
No.
So I didn't see it again. I watched Twitter from, or I watched the awards from Twitter. Apparently, he was performing. I think he did I Can't Feel My Face.
Yeah.
And, like, they said he was just, like, all Michael Jackson'd out.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen, you saw the video for Can't Feel My Face, right?
No. I don't watch rap video. I don't watch music videos.
It's total, like, he's like doing MJ dances a little bit.
Is the ground lighting up?
No, he's not there yet. I know. So,
is he spinning into dust? Because if he does that, we have a serious problem.
So, did you not like Can't Feel My Face?
Nah, not really.
Really?
Ironically, I don't like the content, but I like the hills.
Mm.
Right. It's weird. I like content, but the song itself, I was like, oh, this is catchy. My ear peaked up. Nah, I don't like douchebag dance music, I think. I think that's what
it's trap MJ.
No, yeah.
It's newfangled Michael Jackson.
The crazy part is people are letting these comparisons happen. I don't see much resistance. I even see them being entertained. Well, and the funny part is, and I'm not saying that it's validated or invalidated or whatever, but like, I remember when people were doing the Michael Jackson comparisons to Beyonce, and people were treating that as if it was blasphemous.
Well, what people are really saying, and this is an interesting difference in times. So in the 80s, we didn't really talk about producers the way we do now. What people really mean is this is that 2015 Quincy Jones. That's what they really mean.
Mm.
They don't mean all the things, because you are a big MJ fan.
Yes.
They don't mean that. They mean that very commercial 83 to 87 Quincy Jones sound. That's what they mean.
Wow. Wow.
So when I jokingly give MJ references, that's what I really mean. But we don't think of Quincy that way. Even though he is regarded as legendary in all aspects.
He should be.
But the producers weren't really lionized until hip hop's influence on music was 100% complete.
I would say the first producers that I knew about were, number one, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
Okay, that's true.
And number two, Teddy Riley.
Right, that's true. That's true.
I think they were really, really early in the branding yourself as a producer. But you're right, though. It didn't really become a thing until, Puff?
Puff really put a big... Yeah, Puff... I'll tell you, Puff was the first one where it was certainly like, oh, you knew, like, oh, this is a Puff Daddy production.
Yeah.
There's giant quotation marks, right? Which are Puff Daddy production.
All in the videos.
Right, right.
Oh, man, I didn't even get to talk about that documentary. Woo! I'll save it because we're short on time. Anyway.
No. You're right. Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, but definitely Teddy Riley. Like, the entire New Jack Swing sound. Really, you know, Rick Rubin to a certain extent, like late Def Jam.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, that's what people really mean. So I think if they're not talking about the sound, if they're talking about like the fame, that's a different story. Or if they're talking about like the songwriting or anything like that, anything else in dancing, like that's a different story. But like this sort of like, I'm going to reach back and I want that Billie Jean bass line and I want that, like, that's what they mean.
Yeah.
You might be the only person I know who doesn't like Can't Feel My Face, though.
Nope. I'm good.
That's crazy.
I'm good. I like the beat for Losers. I like that beat. Tell Your Friends. I like the beat on Tell Your Friends. I don't like Abel singing about being a dirtbag. I don't know why.
I appreciate that he's like kind of owning up to it.
You respect his honesty?
Yeah.
His forthrightness?
Yeah. It's for, you know.
That's funny.
He's letting you know right from get go. He's the dude with the hair singing about, you know, popping pills. Like, yeah, that's what he does.
That's crazy. I think I like Shameless.
Probably.
I think I like Shameless, and I think I like Acquainted.
Yeah.
I don't quite remember.
There's like a little run of song. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you said you like The Hills.
Yeah, I think the middle of the album's not bad. Like, well, actually, not even the middle. Like, the first half of the album, I'm not mad at. I don't really like Real Life, but from Losers down to maybe Earned It, I don't hate.
Right.
I don't hate. But then after that, it kind of gets all... yeah. Gets creepy. Gets creepy, dirtbag. Not creepy, like, what?
Says somebody who loves that first weekend mixtape.
You know what's funny? I have not listened to House of Balloons in years.
Oh,
it's
great.
I'm afraid.
First off,
I refuse to listen to Trilogy because I do not want to hear Mixed and Mastered Abel at all. One.
It's not as bad as you think.
I've heard it. I've heard it enough to know. Because we did it. Didn't we review Trilogy?
We did. It's a little different. It's not. Most of the songs aren't bad enough. Actually, it's the stuff on House of Balloons that's impacted the most.
Yeah. But other than that, I just haven't listened to it in a long time, man. I'm telling you, like, I for real... Man, that summer with that album and then the fall with Thursday. Oh, my God. That was not a good time in my life. It really wasn't. And I don't want to revisit that at all. So I don't fool with it at all. But, you know,
bring the 707s out.
Shout out to Abel.
I wonder how many people realize he's talking about, like, it's called Glass Table Girls. Because, like, he's talking about an actual, like, it was made by Boeing to celebrate the 707 airplane. It is a giant glass table that is hypothetically used to arrange your druggery on.
I seriously doubt that people know.
Right. But people singing like, bring the 707s out. And it's like, yeah, bring that glass table out.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly believe that people don't know a lot of the things that they sing about.
That's true.
It's catchy. You know, again,
crazy. I love that record though.
Man.
I know. Anything else you want to say about the weekend?
Well,
let me ask you this then, before one last thing, which is, okay, so this is a gigantic success for him. Like, he, an actual album sales, not even counting the extra stuff they do now for streaming, like 326,000 first week, debuted at number one, with streams 412,000. Already a number of singles, seems like they've got a couple more. Like, this is a, like, 4 years ago, could you, like, it's almost kind of hard to imagine, like, you know, oh, really? Like, The Weeknd's going to be, like, this big of a star?
Absolutely.
So what do you think is next for him?
I think you're right, though. I think he's going to continue to go super duper pop.
I kind of want him to do both. I kind of want him to do, like, I want him to pull a rapper move. I want him actually to make a small mixtape, go as dirtbaggy as possible, as dirty as, like, I should be drunken with sunglasses on when I'm listening to this. So then he has the freedom to go total pop on the album. I want him to basically do the, it's the Fabulous. I'm going to make this record for this lane. I'm going to make this record for this lane. And he could actually pull it off.
Never mind. I was going to say, let's wait on the response, but he did over 400,000 first week.
Right. I'm pretty sure his label is going to be like, what would you like to do now? Do you want a bigger budget? Do you want the entire album produced by the Can't Feel My Face team? Whatever you want.
Right.
So now we get to see.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.